Good morning. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. Homelessness is an issue that many of us are aware of, but don't necessarily see in rural areas as clearly as we sometimes do in urban settings. The Bridge Emergency Shelter in Cortez supports people who need a place to stay overnight and has helped many become more sustainable and lead more self-sufficient lives. Their vision is a community where adult men and women can access emergency shelter and support services in a way that honors individual dignity. On April 25th and 26th, the Bridge will be holding a unique fundraiser that invites the public to experience what it's like to use their services. The A Day in Their Shoes event is designed to help people understand the experiences of homeless people over the course of a single day. Joining me here in the studio this morning are Saskia Mollett and Kristen Twark from the Bridge Emergency Shelter. Good morning to you both.
Hi, good morning, Tom.
Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, you bet. Saskia, let's start with you. Can you kind of just describe an overview of what kind of services the Bridge Emergency Shelter provides?
Yes, the Bridge Emergency Shelter is open from October 15th to April 15th every year. So we try to be there for the people in the coldest months. And we open at 6 p.m. every night during that time, and we close at 7 a.m. So we're there overnight for people. We provide dinner and breakfast and a safe place to sleep. We also try to support people in trying to get out of homelessness, do some informal case management, try and put them in touch with jobs, and we also have the day labor center, so we can send people over there for short-term jobs.
What are some of the most basic things you're talking about, this case management? What are some of the things that most people need as that sort of first step out of homelessness?
It really depends on the person, but a lot of people will come in without any kind of identification or maybe no driver's license, something that would be simple for other people, but can be quite difficult when you've lost it and you've lost all the papers that say who you are that you might normally have in a safe in your house or something like that. And sometimes people need help with just accessing the information, getting onto a computer, learning how to use the computer, how to get the information they need, and also getting them in touch with other organizations in the community that can help them out, like Pinion Project or Housing, and just kind of helping them navigate the system.
And Kristen, I think in our area, a lot of times we don't necessarily see homelessness in the same way because we have that kind of typical view of the urban homeless, people laying on sidewalks with signs or whatever. What does homelessness look like here in rural areas like Southwest Colorado?
Yeah, it can definitely look very different than it would in a big city. And I think that is for a couple of reasons. I think people don't want to be seen as much here, and they want to just kind of fit in the community. It is so small. So if you are known as a person that's on the corner asking for money, it's going to be really hard to get a job or something. So you'll see people and you won't even know their homelessness. You'll see them in the store, you'll see them in the library or at the rec center or just walking around town, or serving you at McDonald's or at any number of businesses in town. So I think that is a big difference than in a big city.
And it seems like too, we think about homelessness again as kind of like that typical kind of person on the street. But homelessness really extends to a lot of different kinds of definitions, like people that are couch surfing, for instance, or people who are living in motel rooms. Can you talk a little bit more about that kind of fringe homelessness that we might not see?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have people who will come into this shelter who have been couch surfing and that just outwear their welcome. And then they might get that welcome back in a few weeks after they've been at this shelter. And it's also people, like you said, living in motels, living in cars, and abandoned buildings. We'll have people come in sometimes who it's just too cold to stay in that car. It's just too cold to stay in that abandoned building, or they need a shower, or they even need just like social interaction, because sometimes that can be very isolating when you live in one of those places. So homelessness can look very different and have lots of different faces that people just don't realize and what the true definition of homelessness is.
If you're just joining us, this is the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder, and my guests this morning are Saskia Mollett and Kristen Twark from the Bridge Emergency Shelter. You guys have a fundraiser coming up. I want to talk a little bit about that. Saskia, can you describe what this A Day in Their Shoes event is all about?
Yes, the Day in Their Shoes is meant to kind of increase people's understanding of what it's like to be homeless. Clearly, it won't be exactly the same, but it'll just give you a taste. We're asking people to come and spend a night in the shelter and then spend a day out and then come back into the shelter and have a debriefing about what that experience was like to sleep in a room with a bunch of people that you don't know, use the same shower, use the same toilet. It's not an experience probably most people have had. And then just spending the day out, you know, carrying your backpack, seeing what that feels like. We really want to raise some compassion and empathy and understanding from the community about what it's like.
And Kristen, how is this functioning as a fundraiser for you guys?
So we're asking people to spend 27 hours homeless. So we're hoping people will get pledges from coworkers, family members, friends, and people can pledge a certain amount of money per hour of being homeless, or a total just sum of money, which will go and help to support the bridge in the winter when we open back up.
Okay.
So, and there's no minimum. People can raise as much or as little as they can. Hopefully it's a lot, but we don't have any type of minimum or anything.
Yeah. Saskia, is this something that's been tried in other areas, in other shelters, or is this an idea that you guys at the bridge came up with and said, hey, you know, it would be really important if people could really get in here and see what happens on the inside of the shelter?
I'm not sure if other shelters have done this or not. And I know that obviously some shelters are open 24/7, 365 days a year, and they might not be able to do something like this. I'm sure there's very similar things. There's like the 30-hour famine, those kind of similar kind of events to raise awareness. And I think this event actually came out of an idea that came from the walk last year and that Kristen was actually there for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. People came together and was just having a conversation about homelessness, and several people thought it would be very interesting to see what it would be like to sleep in our shelter and just kind of be out all day. So we decided to put together this awareness and fundraiser event.
So beyond the fundraising part of it, which of course is important, what are the other kinds of impacts that you're kind of hoping this will have, both on the participants that are actually going through this, you know, a day in their shoes, but just in the larger community?
Yeah, I mean, I think the participants will definitely be impacted with how hard it is to find something to do all day when you don't have a lot of resources, you don't have a car. If you do, you have very little gas. And then just kind of sharing those experiences with their friends and their families and their coworkers. And I think that's what we're really hoping, is we can only have so many people at this fundraiser. But if each person tells five people about their experience, it really can spread and increase the compassion for the homeless in Cortez.
And why is it important for people to go through this experience firsthand, Saskia? I mean, people could probably go and volunteer and kind of see what it's like, but why did you guys decide that it's important for someone to sort of really be in the shoes of someone who might be homeless?
I think it's just the best way that you can have to have a real understanding of it, because you can read about things, you can come. I mean, we're there all the time, but I don't think either of us has actually slept in the shelter. We've maybe spent nights there working, but we haven't had to really sleep in the room with everybody. And I just think that until you really experience something, you probably don't really fully understand it. And it still won't be the same, because it's only 27 hours, which sounds like a long time, but when you think, you know, it could be 27 years of your life. So I just think experiential learning like that is the best way for most people to really understand something.
And if people want to kind of understand this more, Kristen, can you kind of just briefly kind of walk us through, starting at, I guess it's called intake, when people come in the
yeah.
evening, and then walk us through what that day is going to kind of look like for somebody that might participate in this event?
Yeah, so we're going to start intake at 6 o'clock on the 25th, and 6 o'clock is when we would open the shelter normally. And just like our guest, each person is going to have to go through the intake process, which can include a bag check, a pat-down, and a breathalyzer. And then there's always lots of paperwork and stuff that has to be filled out when a guest is new. And then you'll be able to eat dinner in our dining room area, and you'll be able to watch TV if you want to, just chit-chat. And then usually quiet time begins at 10 or 11, so then people will be able to be assigned to a bed. And they'll be given blankets and a pillow, just like our guests will. And They'll just have to sleep in a room with, again, lots of people that they don't know. Someone might be snoring. Someone might have smelly feet, and you just have to kind of deal with that. And again, our guests have to deal with it every night, and you just have to deal with it one night. And then in the morning, wake up is at 5:30, and that's what time our guests wake up. And you have to be out of the shelter by 7 a.m. We do serve breakfast. And as our guests know, it's still cold at 7 a.m., no matter what time of the year it really is. So just kind of dealing with that aspect. And I think a lot of our guests now are like, they take a lot of their coats, but then by 2 o'clock it's warm, so then they have to carry all their coats around. So just, and then during the day, so kind of seeing some of that inconvenience of being outside from 7 a.m. until 6 o'clock the next day. And each participant of this fundraiser will be able to decide what they do during their day. We are going to recommend that they don't have a lot of money, because our guests don't usually, but some of them might have a few dollars, and that you don't use your car. And if you do, some of our guests do have cars, but they might be able to do like 1 gallon of gas a day, because that's all they can afford. So yeah, people go to the library, you can hang out in the park. But again, that's just kind of up to you to decide. I mean, a lot of people will just walk to Walmart for something to do, or walk to the thrift stores just so they can look around. So you can see that when you don't have money resources or a house, a day outside isn't as fun as it might seem.
Saskia, one thing that I can imagine that people might have a concern about if they're considering doing this is just security. Like, what does it feel like to be in the shelter at night? Is there a sense of security, or is it something, I'm assuming it's not something people should be worried about, but if they are, how would you, assuage their fears about that?
Well, I mean, I feel in general, I feel safe at the shelter myself, but having not really slept there, but we do... like I said, or like Kristen said, when we do intake, we go through and we make sure that nobody's got any knives, anything like that, no bottles. We take those things and keep them in storage for the night, so that you can know that your fellow participants will not have a weapon on them. So we take anything that even could be considered a weapon. And then there's also going to be, well, Kristen and I will be sleeping there. So there's always staff there at night. There's always people who are paying attention to what's going on. We listen for everything. You know, if we hear somebody yelling, we run down the hall. And if it makes you feel better, we are right next to the police department.
All right. That you put my fears to rest there. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we're talking about homelessness in Cortez in Southwest Colorado, and my guests are Saskia Mollett and Kristen Twarek from the Bridge Emergency Shelter. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine. This is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Saskia Mollett and Kristen Twarek from the Bridge Emergency Shelter. And we're talking about homelessness in our area, and also an event they have coming up on April 25th and 26th. It's called A Day in Their Shoes. It's an event designed to help people understand the experiences of homeless people over the course of a single day. Let's talk a little bit more about homelessness in our area. Is there any sense, Kristen, that homelessness is on the rise in our area, or do you have any sense that things are getting better as it relates to homelessness? What's kind of the feel out there with people who are working with homeless?
I know nationally that since 2012, the homeless population has gone down a little bit of percentage-wise. And how that relates to Cortez is kind of hard to tell. I would say what we see at this shelter is not all the homeless people in Cortez by even a long stretch, because of, like we said, with the couch surfing and people staying in hotels are considered homeless. But I would say at the shelter, that's really what I can speak about, has stayed pretty consistent for the last couple of years.
And how many people do you see on a nightly basis generally?
It fluctuates a lot. In the last week or so, we've had about 35 people a night, and this has been one of our highest averages. 35 people isn't the highest number we've seen, but the last few weeks has been our highest average.
Saskia, how do you get, I hate to put it this way, how do you get the word out about the Bridge? I mean, people that are homeless, they how do they know? If they land in this area, do they just kind of like find their way around and find the Bridge? Or how do people know about these services that are available to them?
That's a really good question. I'm not always sure how people find us, but a lot of our guests hang out in the same areas, and they are kind of have some sense of community. So if somebody new shows up, they will direct them to the bridge. And occasionally people will find us, they get our phone number from another agency. Maybe they're in, I've had calls, you know, people are in Durango, but they know that they're going to be coming to Cortez and they're going to need a place, and they'll call and ask us about our services. And then I'm sure that the other agencies in town, organizations that work with people in need, will tell them about us. But it's a good question. I know, and also our police department will bring people as well.
You mentioned that sort of a sense of community among the homeless population. Is that the kind of community where they're looking out for each other, or what does that look like as you see it as an outsider?
Yeah. To some extent. I mean, I'm sure not all of them feel that sense of community, but I do know that they'll tell us, hey, you know, I saw this guy down in the park. He needs some help. Can you, you know, do something? Or, hey, we haven't seen this person all day. We're kind of worried. You know, hey, has this guy come in? So they do. They definitely kind of keep tabs on each other, and they know if somebody's missing.
Sure. Kristen, people, I'm sure, have a lot of misconceptions about homelessness or homeless people, I guess. Can you talk a little bit about some of those misconceptions or anything that maybe we misunderstand about what it's like to be homeless?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions, at least in Cortez, is that everyone who stays at the shelter has been drinking, which is not true at all. We have over half of our population are completely sober almost 100% of the time. And several of those people are working as well. And it's just hard on a minimum wage job to be able to afford any type of stable housing. So I think that is a misconception that, like, maybe homeless people are lazy. But if you, again, do this event, you'll realize how unlazy people are, because being outside all day and worrying about the weather and things like that can be very stressful, and you're not. Again, it's not a lazy thing. And then I think a lot of people also have the misconception that all homeless people are just single men, which is not true at all. We don't serve families at the Bridge Shelter, but the biggest rise in homelessness is of single women with children and children and families. So I think that sometimes can be really hard to think about children and women being homeless. But
now, you do have women that come into the shelter on a nightly basis, or is that rare? Or what,
no, we do have a population of women who come into the shelter. We just can't take anyone under 18. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have women every night that stay at the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Saskia, if people are really wanting to help homeless people, sometimes it's kind of hard to know. I mean, I suppose people could come in and volunteer at the Bridge, of course, but yes. What are some other things that you can think of that people could do to kind of help out in society in general?
Oh, that's a big question. Well, definitely, I think thinking about the reality versus having stereotypes about them, like Kristen was saying, you know, not everybody who comes to the shelter drinks, and actually the majority don't. Yeah, definitely volunteering at your local shelter would be great, or helping support your shelter financially, supporting legislation that will decrease poverty, you know, increase the minimum wage, because it's really hard to find a place to live on the minimum wage in most places in the United States. And if you like to talk to your congresspeople, your senators, you know, tell them that it's important to you. And it is a big deal. And it's really sad because a lot of them are kids. Like, I know it's far from here, but I know in New York, there's a lot of homeless kids, and that number has been rising. So,
yeah.
And I think something else that you can do is just treat those people with the same respect. Just looking someone in the eyes and saying hello and not just dismissing that they're there can be just as important as volunteering and giving money.
Definitely. I think that's one of the biggest things that we do at the shelter, is treat people like people, because a lot of their day they're not treated like people.
That sense of dignity as a human being.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming in this morning. It was nice talking with you.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. That's Saskia Mullett and Kristen Twark from the Bridge Emergency Shelter. We've been talking this morning about homelessness, and the Bridge is having a fundraiser called a Day in Their Shoes event. It's designed to help people understand the experiences of homeless people over the course of a single day. That's going to be happening on April 25th and 26th, and there is a deadline to sign up for that. That's April 15th. Saskia, briefly, can you? How do people get a hold of you if they want to sign up for this event?
They can call us at 970-565-9808, and that's the Bridge number.
Okay, thanks. You've been listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder.